Welcome to the Gridiron Podcast. Whether you're a returning listener or a new listener, welcome to the podcast. If you're on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. If you're on another platform, make sure to follow or like. That would be helpful. Thank you. In today's podcast, we have a different kind of episode. Mike and I will be going over both our team's seasons and talking about the strengths and weaknesses, as well as what the future looks like for each. Without further ado, let's get into this discussion. Starting with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Nick, as we both know, the Green Bay Packers finished third place in the NFC North at 11-6, which is quite crazy to say because that third place led them to be in the playoff situation they were in. But third place at 11-6 would probably win most divisions, if not be in second place, which is crazy. So, you know, hands down to the NFC North, one of the best divisions, if not the best in the NFL last year. With that being said, the Packers season really started with an interesting roller coaster because the first matchup they had against the Philadelphia Eagles, it was a good one. I was looking forward to it. It was in Brazil, and this was going to be a good test to start off the season for the Packers. Now, the reason why this game is critical, despite the Packers losing, is because at the end of the game, we all know Jordan Love got injured. And so when Jordan Love got injured, it was very critical because this set the tone for the rest of the season. When Jordan Love got injured, he was kind of rushed back, in my opinion, because in the few games that he played, he was still injured, hobbling on his foot. I remember one game he had to go out, and he was turning over the football, missing throws, and he was very just not Jordan Love-like. So to me, this was a problem because you don't want to rush back your star because they're not going to play up to like what they can be. So the Packers had an interesting season because they came out, they won close games such as the Rams, the Texans, which was a good game, the Jaguars, which was a battle, and the Chicago Bears, where they luckily got the field goal block. Then they came out guns blazing, where both sides were playing efficient football, creating turnovers on the defense, like the Dolphins, a banged-up 49ers team, the Seattle Seahawks, and the New Orleans Saints. And then they had the games against their divisional opponents, such as the Vikings and Lions, where they came out slow, and they were sloppy. I mean, they did compete in those games, but it was the early, you know, down 28-0 against the Vikings. It was the early scores or early turnovers that, you know, dug them a hole that they couldn't really get out of. So, Nick, for you, when you watched the Packers play your Detroit Lions, what did you like really notice about the Packers that you're like, the Lions can exploit them here?
The run game, 100%. It was just, they ran the ball way too much. And then our secondary was really locking down. I mean, Jaden Reed came into Detroit saying, wait until I come to Detroit. And he was, I think they left him on the plane. So I think the defense of Detroit, yes, they had injuries. They played really well against the Packers. And I think the stat when they came to Detroit, the yardage for Jordan Love was like 85 when Jared Goff already had like 200 in the first half. So I think that was a big differential too. And specifically special teams too. I mean, you look at the beginning of the year for the Packers, obviously the kicker situation, then they get McManus, who was solid for them. But compare that to Jake Bates. And then the punt game, compare that to Jack Fox. Like, there's a huge difference between that. And the Lions were really able to keep the Packers off the field with their offense, converting it on fourth down and creating these long drives. We know Detroit has an explosive offense, but they were able to control the time of possession the entire games.
Yeah, I fully agree with you there. I mean, when the Packers quickly went three and out, it was, you knew, a long drive coming. So actually, to bounce off of what you just said, I researched a couple stats because I was interested for myself after watching the season. I knew when Josh Jacobs was acquired, this Packers team would rely heavy on running it more. Obviously last year we had Aaron Jones, but now Josh Jacobs, who is just a tough runner down the middle, one cut, he's a very explosive runner. And on first downs, the Packers were fifth for running at 40.5%. I mean, it's not that I don't like that. It's when you're playing a team like the Lions, the Vikings, the Eagles, you kind of have to mix it up. And that's the thing I will say. When I was watching Detroit, I was like, oh, Jared Goff's under center here, first and 10. He's going to hand it off to Gibbs. No, it was a play action to a tight end or something that just was totally unexpected and creative. And it was like, man, if only the Packers had that creativity. Because when the Packers gained 1 or 2 yards on first down, it was like they went back to running the ball again on second down. Well, if that didn't work, you're set up for a third and whatever. So it's like, I just wish the Packers had some sort of creativity on the offensive side. I'm not against running the football, but when it's not working, it's not working. And with that being said, the passing attempts, they were 30th at 28, which I'm not saying Jordan Love has to throw the ball 40 times, because obviously he will turn the ball over. But as you said, in a first half game where he only has 80 yards, it's like on 5 attempts or so, it's like you got to pick it up. You got to get him going. Because when he gets going, look at the Dallas Cowboys game, 2 years ago. Man, that was a playoff game to be had. The creativity was there too. So I don't know where that went. But nonetheless, shifting over to the Packers defense, I thought this defense was actually pretty good for the most part. The rush defense, at least up front. I mean, they stopped their opponents to 103 yards on average. Now, I know during the playoffs and, during the Vikings Lions game, they got exploited. They got absolutely pushed off the football. I mean, the Packers defense right up front actually wasn't too bad. And I'm okay with that because for the many years as a Packers fan, I would have to say, stop the run. That's the problem. Stop the run. And they finally fixed that problem. Jeff Hafley did a great job this year fixing that problem. Now, where the Packers have an interesting problem is the passing game. They allowed per completion on average 9.6 yards on average. That's almost a first down. They don't have any corners outside of when Jair's on the field, which he wasn't. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon played okay, but then after that, there's no depth. Eric Stokes, not good enough. Carrington Valentine has potential. He just has to maybe play more, but he's not necessarily a cornerback one or two. So as you compare, Nick, the defense compared to the Lions, it's just not even close. When you have Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs in the back to cover, it's like, forget it. I
And
mean,
Jamison Williams too.
and Jamison Williams, these guys cannot compete with those guys yet. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, it's just the list goes on. And it's only going to get tougher for the Packers schedule next year. So I'm hoping, little cut into my next topic. I'm hoping the Packers in the offseason can really address the cornerback room and the edge rush position, maybe a wide receiver too, but mainly obviously cornerback. They desperately need one. If Jaire Alexander too is another interesting situation because he may not be a Packer. So he most likely isn't. So the Packers do have some nice cap space. I think at 42 million, just under that, because they've just signed their rookie. So I'm hoping the Packers can address edge rushing and a cornerback in the offseason. And I do think that next year, the Green Bay Packers will be back in the playoffs, if not fighting for the North again. So this team is still young and they're still coming together. The coordinators, are gonna have to come up with a game plan for next year. They will be back next year. And there is hope. It's just a matter of when will this team put it all together and compete against these top teams? Matt LaFleur has to do a better job coaching. And so he's just getting out coached. So this team is still young, bright future. I do think this season was a little short of what Packer fans may have thought, but I'm still hopeful and I'm still looking forward to the future of next season. So,
yeah. And now shifting to the Detroit Lions, obviously we know the Lions went 15-2 in the regular season, best record in franchise history. They also went 6-0 in the NFC North and 8-0 on the road. So some really good stats out of that. And one key thing that we've talked about all season were the defensive injuries on the Lions. They had 18 total defensive players on IR. Just to name a few, you have Hutch, Derek Barnes, Carlton Davis, Aleem McNeil, and among others as well. And one thing that is on the positive is Jared Goff had a MVP type season, with his stats being 4,629 yards for 37 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and he averaged a 111 quarterback rating. So definitely a better season than what we've seen out of Jared Goff, especially for being a player that was shipped off to Detroit to basically end his career. And one thing that I can say is probably the biggest surprise of a game. There's two of them for me. That being the game in Houston, where the Lions were down 23-7 at halftime with Jared Goff throwing 5 interceptions. And the Lions defense gave up 0 points in the second half to win 26-23 off of a 52-yard field goal that just snuck in for Jake Bates. Now, Mike, I want to ask you this, kind of going along with the Lions. What do you think your most surprising game for the Lions was all season?
All seasons, definitely. I mean, well, you can't, besides the Commanders game, I got to say it's the Texans game just because of the turnovers in that game, and they still managed to win. So besides for the Commanders game, I would say the Texans.
Okay. Now, one thing that the Lions fans were wondering going into the season was, we looked at Jameson Williams' potential having a full season under his belt after last season being suspended for 6 games due to betting on a college basketball game. And obviously the year before that, missing half the season with ACL tear. And we didn't get that, but we did get 1,000 yards in scrimmage yards from Jameson Williams, including rushing and passing, especially on those trick plays that he was able to gain like 40, 50 yards. And I mean, the two-headed monster with Sonic and Knuckles in the backfield, both able to get 1,000-plus yards and 10-plus rushing touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously, with 20, that being a franchise record previously passed by Jamal Williams about 3 years ago, where he got 17, which beat Barry Sanders' record previously. And I would have to say one big issue that I have of the Lions season this year was not getting points when they were available to them. Obviously, we know Dan Campbell. We know the type of coach he is. We know he's aggressive on fourth downs. But there was a lot of times where I was like, just take the field goal. Like, you have a 20-yard field goal. You have probably the best kicker in the league on your team, and you're not utilizing him. Yes, he did score the most points by a Lion in franchise history this year, passing Jason Hansen. But I will say, going for it on fourth down as much as they did, it did lead to some games where it was like kind of down to the wire. You look at the Packers game in Detroit. You look at Minnesota in Minnesota. You look at Houston. You look at Indianapolis. You look at these different games and you see that a lot of times they were going for it on fourth down a little bit too much. Even the Tampa Bay game that they lost. So I think that's one key takeaway for the struggles I would say the Lions have. Obviously, now going into next season, we lost a lot of coaching staff, losing Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, JT Barrett, Antoine Rendell. We lost our defensive line coach. So going into next year, seeing the coaching hires that I've been seeing, I am optimistic. Obviously, getting people that kind of fit into the system, having Kelvin Shepard as the new defensive coordinator, I think is huge for this team because I saw how he was as a linebacker coach, and he definitely fits into the culture. He fits into the style. And to speak on the defense, we know the injuries, right? Mentioned before. But when you look at the stats specifically, a lot of it could be based off of injury, but they were seventh best in points. They were 20th best in total yards per game. That could attest to the injuries. Passing yards, they were 30th. Obviously, having the secondary injured a little bit and then not having the pass rush without Hutch, Anzalone, Barnes, name it. But they were 5th in rushing defense all year in the NFL, only allowing 244 yards per game. They were 5th in the NFL in interceptions. Obviously, helps when Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch get 17 total interceptions between them two. They were number one on third down defense. They only allowed teams to convert third downs 32% of the time. And they were second in the NFL on fourth down, only allowing teams to convert 41% of the time. Obviously, that is counting Washington, where they went for it on every single fourth down against Detroit and converted every single one. So the defense was able to get off the field very easily, especially on third down, fourth down, and they forced the teams to punt the most in the NFL. So even with the injuries, they had a solid defense. Obviously, the yardage, I think that is a testament to the pass rush that was pretty non-existent with those injuries. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson, huge pass rusher. And getting Za'Darius Smith, he is a bit on the older side, but he was able to get home sometimes. Obviously, getting 5 sacks in 6 games for Detroit. So I'm excited for next year, hearing some of the rumors that I am. Not going to say anything because I don't want to spoil it or jinx it. But hearing the rumors that I am hearing, I am excited, especially for this defensive line that I'm hearing. Obviously, we'll be seeing Hutch coming back. Don't know how he's going to perform coming back off this injury. It's always tough to see and predict how players are going to come off of an injury, especially of this magnitude. But Mike, to kind of talk about your Green Bay Packers, I do have a question for you. I think you basically touched on it just a little bit, but what do you think the Packers need to improve on to be able to compete in the NFC North going forward? As you mentioned, they went 1-5 in the division.
Yeah, I think the Green Bay Packers need to not necessarily change anything. It's just a matter of preparation. I don't know if it's coaching coming into these games or something is going on behind the scenes that we just don't know, because for them to come out slow the way they have. I don't understand why that is. In some games, they will come out guns blazing, like I talked about. But in these big matchups, they just run the ball, three and out, they're off the field. It just seems like they don't want to be there. And it's very interesting to me because this Packers team has the chance to do whatever they want to be. And I think the Green Bay Packers, in order to compete, have to play efficient football on both sides. One side cannot carry this team necessarily. They have to play efficient on both sides. So it's very difficult to do that because obviously you're playing a two-headed sword of the Detroit Lions, the Minnesota Vikings. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is, but both teams have to, or both sides of the football have to be playing at their best. And I just don't think in any of those games, you can look at the Vikings-Lions games and say, yeah, the Packers looked really good at really any point. I mean, there were certain times where at the end of the game, they're trying to come back. They score a quick 15 points, but it's like, where was that the first half? So granted, you know, there are better teams in the league. It's just a matter of the Packers need to do a better job preparing or coaching.
Yeah.
So to go back to your Detroit Lions, you kind of already touched on this too. My question for you was, how do you think the Lions are going to adjust with the key losses of Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn?
Yeah, I think I'm super optimistic about this team. We saw what they were able to do last year, obviously having Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, but the coaches can coach, right? I always say it's on the players to execute the game plans. Now, the offensive coordinator signing, let me make sure I get this correct before I say the name. So the offensive coordinator is, let me just double check it. John Morton. So John Morton was previously the pass game coordinator for the Broncos, and he has worked on the Lions staff back in 2022 as a senior associate to Ben Johnson. So he knows how this offense works. He knows how Dan Campbell works. And then on the defensive side, obviously having Calvin Shepard, who has worked on this staff for about 3 years now, former player. I think it is huge for these two to not feel pressure, right? Obviously filling the shoes of Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, two of the best coordinators in the league this past couple of years. Definitely were on the head coaching market for multiple years. And I think it really comes down to Dan Campbell just rallying the troops every week. And I feel confident in how he coaches. He's a player's coach. Players want to play for him. So I definitely feel optimistic. Now, the tough part is we see the numbers of how many free agents the Lions have coming up this offseason. Carlton Davis, Tim Patrick, Ifeatu Melifonwu, Derek Barnes, to name a couple. I'm nervous about that because the Lions don't have the cap space like the Washington Commanders do, right? It's not even close. They do have really good cap space, but you have to really divide up those contracts like Brad Holmes has been doing, getting these four-year contracts to kind of minimize the salary cap. We have a lot of returning players, St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Jared Goff, the running backs, Gibbs and Montgomery are both coming back. So we're getting a lot of key pieces back, but those free agents is what is really worrying me because Tim Patrick, for example, was a really solid wide receiver three for the Lions. And some of the rumors that I'm hearing right now of who could potentially fill his spot is good, but it depends on how this person fits into the offense. that being Cooper Kupp. Potential hearing that he will be traded to Detroit. So we may see Jameson Williams move down to wide receiver two, and then St. Brown and Cooper Kupp really competing for that wide receiver one spot. So that should be interesting if that happens. And on the defensive side, I mean, Derek Barnes, he's a big key asset for the Lions. Huge loss. We lost him in week two this year against Tampa Bay for a concussion that he just never really recovered from. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in the linebacker room, but we still have Jack Campbell, still have Alex Anzalone, still have Malcolm Rodriguez pending how he comes off of this ACL tear. So the defensive side, I'm a little bit more nervous because obviously still you have also Carlton Davis and Ifeatu Melifonwu being free agents. On the offensive line, you have Kevin Zeitler becoming a free agent. But I have faith in people like Christian Mahogany. They also have Giovanni Manu on the bench, who they drafted this past year, because I'm kind of worried about Graham Glasgow with how his season went. So the offensive line, defense, I'm not so worried about the key players of the offense, like the specialty players, not so worried about that. But really the defense and the offensive line is what I'm kind of worried about in terms of free agents.
Yeah, I think you touched on a lot there. I think you covered the Detroit Lions really well. Their season's in good hands for next year. And I think the Packers, I think they'll look forward to the battle next season as well. So we'll get to cover that again for next season. So,
yeah, the NFC North is going to be really exciting this year. Obviously, Green Bay Packers, Lions, we'll have to see what happens with the Vikings camp of who they decided who their quarterback's going to be. And then the Bears having Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson. So this next year of the NFC North is going to be really exciting. We were super excited of how the NFC North turned out this year. Obviously, all three of the teams that made the playoffs went 0-1 in the playoffs, so that's kind of bad. But I'm super excited to see how the NFC North turns out next season. And stay tuned for next week as we're going to be doing a recap of the most anticipated Super Bowl of all time, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. But thank you guys for tuning in for another week of the Gridiron Podcast. If you're a fan of the NFL, enjoy content covering football, then you guys should definitely consider hitting that subscribe button because we are here every single Thursday. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.